Hi, I'm Radhika Subramaniam. I'm the director and curator of the Sheila Johnson Design Centre, and it's a pleasure to welcome our neighbour, the Greenwich Village Society for Historic Preservation, and all of you this evening. For my part, I'm particularly eager to hear Avi's talk, since our offices overlook the Cristiano Cora building, the 3 West 13th Street, and we're continually watching the stylists create their new design. So it's nice to be able to have this opportunity to get a much deeper look into the building's design itself. So I want to turn it over to Greenwich Village Society, who will welcome and introduce Avi. Welcome.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much, first of all, to our hosts for having us tonight. My name is Andrew Berman. I'm the Executive Director of the Greenwich Village Society for Historic Preservation, and thank you for coming here tonight. This is actually the inaugural program in a series that we'll be having throughout the winter called Architects Talks. And the purpose of the program is actually to provide both the architects and the general public with an opportunity, first of all, to hear more about the design process and thinking that goes into some of the new buildings in our neighborhood, but particularly those which are outside of our designated historic districts. For anybody who's involved with the Greenwich Village Society knows, we're very actively involved with the design process for buildings within designated historic districts, because by law that is a public process and the public can have an input and a say. For buildings outside of the designated historic district, that is not a requirement and typically doesn't take place. However, those buildings do, of course, still have a great impact on our character and surroundings, and so we thought it would be a great idea to invite in the architects of some particularly interesting new additions to our neighborhood so that we could hear from them about what their thinking was going into it, what considerations went into their design process, and so that we could hear more from them about that, and we could ask questions and give some reflections on our thoughts as well. If you don't have one, certainly be sure to pick up a copy of the yellow program flyer, which will give you information about both more of the architects' talks that will be taking place, as well as other programming that we do over the coming weeks in a variety of areas. And I also encourage you to pick up a copy of our program feedback form. Fill it out. We have pens. Let us know what you thought about tonight's program, anything we could do to make it better, things that you want more of, and certainly pick up our newsletter and membership form if you're interested in finding out more about GVSHP and getting more involved. So let me begin the introductions for our guest of honor tonight, Avi Oster. Avi was born and raised in Israel and studied at the world-renowned Technion Israel Institute in Haifa before being recruited by IM Pei and Partners in 1988 to work in New York. He followed this with a number of years as a design consultant, working with select architecture firms on high-end, large-scale projects. These included residential projects such as 45 Wall Street, which was the first downtown New York office building to be converted into apartments, retail developments such as the DKNY store in Montreal, and cultural spaces such as the Children's Museum of the East End on Long Island. Avi launched Avi Oster Studio in 2002 and continues to develop a signature style that is driven by technology, function, and beauty. Research and studies in design for medicine have led to a fascination with natural forms and systems, resulting in an aesthetic that is a kind of organic modernism where asymmetrical forms and details work together to create a balance and symmetry in the whole. So I think this should be really interesting. Just two quick housekeeping items. Please, if you haven't already, silence your cell phone or pager or anything like that. And we'll be hearing a presentation, and then there will be an opportunity afterwards for question and answer. So definitely think about or write down what you want to ask, and we'll give you the opportunity to do that. So I turn the floor over.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
First of all, thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much, Corey, with the Greenwich Village Society. It was an interesting approach, it's an opportunity definitely quite rare to speak about a building that the place that I'm speaking is actually the building is across the street. So it's quite rare, and it's quite exciting be involved. All right. Be involved in the process of during the design and during the construction, and to see how that street, 13th Street, got changed. I will start a little bit with some background and things that was interesting us, interesting me, since my studies and since my practice. And I tried to notice about three subjects that was, for me, it was quite important from a long time. And I put them as a note as translation, orientation, and the last is destination. Related with translation, in architecture, or architecture history, it's a lot of things saying about project or architects since the ancient history up to the modern time, things that address... It's all right. Things that address and the way how project get translate from an ideas and a thinking to real form. And for me, this is a really crucial, since I've been studies, and after that I've been exposed to many architects and forms that between what they're saying and between what they're really appearing, it's quite very different. And for me, it was always a big interest to really to understand how to translate an ideas and a concept or a process to real something that I feel that have a meaning in my projects. During the developing the project that we was 13 and the time that we tried to put this together, again, it's something related with the era and architecture that I been involved from the way that the time that I've been finished studies. It was basically the end of the postmodernism and the start of an era that's what people call the deconstructivism. And in some way, architects try to, I call it, have the freedom, a freedom course, basically, to go behind the form and the function. And some of the things got developed more, some of the things, some architects, an opportunity to try to translate this idea to a real project. Some of them look really like a chaos. But one of the things that I kind of notice is that something that related with the concept. Architects, I think, borrow that from, in some way, I'm not saying imitate, but some involvement with an art, and basically develop the concept as an something that it's driving the entire project. Me as observing those projects sometimes, I can say that some of them got imposed, and I had some issues with my project, with my thinking about how to go behind of that. As my kind of interest was much more lately as to deal with the essence of the building and become to be like, in some way, the mission of the building. I would like to go a little bit on some involvement that we did with another blog that they asked us to be involved with them, since they was finding the Gotham City, New York City, after September 11. I hope it's loaded in some way. After September 11, that time that I started to work on, I was working on two projects, one in Miami and one parallel. I started to have the design in place of the 3 West 13. I found very interesting situation that I call it the mood city. New York City was and people are probably familiar with the situation that New York after September 11 was in a very kind of coming up from the September 11, and at the same time Miami that I found, it was extremely vivid and life. Anyway, my PDF. Oh, okay. This is some of the project that we were scouting related with what's called new developments, and several of them are in commercial buildings. Some of them are in transplantation, and we found really interesting development in New York City. And people can get to this line, to this link, as joellifestyle.com, that we was going and scouting for new project that in the latest, from 2002 up now, we found extremely fascinated. One of them is that the Cooper Union. And the Bond Street done by Herzog de Meuron. Some of them, the size of those projects definitely got the opportunity to the architects to deal with what I call luxury materials, luxury technologies. I found extremely a challenge to work with my building as what we call 25 feet. Interesting me was how I can really make a change and have with my opportunity, with my option to develop something that is unique. And I try to search beside looking and see what has existed, is to try to find architects or projects that done some kind of interesting effect and impact on the city. This is a building that actually done by Jean Nouvel, and it came much, much later, but they was dealing with some system that actually, if you looking in the window system, they took a modular of a window system and basically developed that to the entire facade. During my my searching to some interesting, I was familiar with an architect that during my studies was fascinating with his project, and Paul Rudolph. And a building that I found extremely interesting as a small building, different than those mega structure project that he was involved. I found the Rudolph Foundation and 246 East 58th Street. It's a very small building, but if somebody got close to and look at that, it's extremely fascinating the way how he translate in a very simple way the material that he select, and the way how we basically put together and a very, very small project, and extremely clear the way that how the habitat of that building came up. And basically that building began to be their foundation, Rudolph Foundation. Going back to orientation and things that I try to research as a new development, looking on what is existing today on New York habitat, what I call, it was two residential, typical residential things that was existed. Is one, it was basically the loft, what basically is in Soho, and then luxury apartment that they have in the regular residential things that is exist in the city. What I try to do with this building is very, in some way, to take those two qualities and to put them together. And very, from the beginning, I try to use the open spaces qualities, the scale qualities, the private and public inside to be involved and to orient my entire design and to develop the spaces that was, for me, it was really a key as orientation in the apartment themselves and as it related with the street. During the time of the development of the design, I really decided to use important elements for me as light and special indirect light that was in some way done before as more involved in commercial project but not in residential. And in some way I felt that this is extremely important to have involvement as the building facade has reflected what I call the mood of the building or the mood related with the mood street. What you see now is basically some of the models that we done and we start to study and to see the reflection of the building facade, the front and the back, and as I try to get as in some way to have some type of a really clarity of the entire gallery, the glass gallery, and to come out with a simplicity of what's called the window inside the window. And the reason that this is dictated is not just because you need the low in New York City, you need the windows in the building themselves, is that one of the things that I was worried about is the users as function as the window and basically clean up. So by punching the holes in the center, it was very easy to have a cleanup actually from the inside the apartment and basically use a wiper and to have the entire window get cleaned up actually from inside in a very efficient way. Beside of that, that the two windows, by opening up, you can actually become to be like a balcony window. So the windowsill has become to be the size of a handrail. So my facade become to be a double function that I felt that it's quite innovative in a way with that function. This is some studies that we try and to research about the light and a way how to use the right light. It was an LED that was not involved, not controlled by the tenant or by the developers, was actually involved. And by you moving from the junction of the street towards the building, things start to change, the coloring start to change. We done a lot of research what kind of colors are saturated and so on, and still some of them function okay, some of them are still have issues with the LEDs systems that in that time was quite new in the industry as a residential. As you see, one of the things that I try to really integrate is to work with the fabric of basically of this facade that and that narrow side, I felt that I need to have some type of a continuity, but on the other hand, to have type of a very lighting, very transparent results with the glazing and then the lighting involved. On the first and the second floor, I don't know if people remember, but 13th Street was a street that at that area, at that time, it was very dark and I was really looking at that and it was really kind of not comfortable location that people was passing very quickly. And what we thought about is to have a way to create a niche, a setback with the first and second floor. And one of the concerns was is that how you create the security, how you're creating a way of people will not sleep there and stuff that people will not, I mean, it's the security part. So we came up with a solution of illuminate and create like a stage, so it will give one hand security and the other hand homelessness or people that are not need to sleep there, it will work, and it worked really well as a result. And this was one of the details that we developed with the with the building themselves. I will jump a little bit to images, and before of that, it's one of the models that we, in a 3D that we are put together, and help us to study the scale and the relationship with the street. I will give a little bit, it will be some more images to see different light illumination. The glaze that we used, it was a LE glaze, that it was low energy and reflected in a type of a silver coating that with the lights you can see different reflection. Going back to the plans and the setup of the apartments themselves, it was really a challenge to put, and part of that to receive the right scale of the heights is the location of the stairs and the elevators. The size was really integrated to have the right balance between the living room at the front and the bedrooms and the back. And to work on a 25 feet that you need to have the duct of the stairs that is almost like 6 feet, you're really limited and need to be really calculate to get the maximum and the function of the entire space. I'm showing a little bit different images on the outside, and this is from the seventh floor that we have another system that we came up is with. We originally have balconies, and we found out that it's a way to close balconies with removable system, and that gave us a really interesting solution how to enlarge and to get a bigger feeling on small spaces. And give us really the developer really got results that was really what satisfying him as getting enlarged in some way, involved in larger square footage of the value of the real estate value of the space. Those are the windows that it's a steel, custom steel that we designed and fabricated in Brooklyn in an in-house, and aluminum window that was integrated. Those are the details from the main entry doors. This is one of the apartments that got the top floor got renovated. We came up with setup of a new fireplace that's called Fire on Ice. It's a system that is a gas system that you don't see the logs, but you see the flame and the fire. And basically it's through pieces of glass that creating like effect of like fire through an ice. That's one of the bedrooms that gentleman was decorating that. That was the two bedrooms that is significant to the back and create a transparency from the front. You can really see through. And this is what I tried to explain from the beginning that was really concerning me, how to get the feeling, to maximize the feeling with the loft that I mentioned and regular luxury apartment that you have, and you are trying to get, basically you're trying to merge both of them. after we finish our almost the end of that project, came up the gentleman Cristiano Cora, that was very interesting to be in, and to be a tenant in the building, and we start to have a long discussion. He interviewed me and another four architects, and he was expressing that he's looking for to put his studio as a hair salon and education center. He came up from a school, a British school, and I don't know if some people know about the difference between the hairstyle, the British and the French. The British are really strong on the cut, and the French is on arrangement. So this is something that he came up from Vidal Sassoon. He was 17 years hair director, extremely talent person, extremely educated. And one of the things that he mentioned, he said, I really want to have a space that you have the curve, the fluidity, that I feel that it really will fit the customers that I'm working with. So we came up with, in the other hand, we tried to create very simple, with his fit his budget. So we came up with working on a section and develop a curving space, accommodate a vacuum system in the floor. So you, after you do the cut, basically you can cut and you swipe basically the hair into the system. Those are display system that was integrate their product that they had, and this is one of the things that we use, that designers Scott Love Groove developed them, and the first time in New York that was actually present. Since the space was in curve in many direction, when somebody sitting on the chair and the light behind the mirror, you really not feeling, you don't feel any shadows, and it becomes creating some type of a floating feeling. And it's really interesting after you start to have your treatment or you the stylist working. It's really became, you become to really lose the space feeling. And it's quite interesting that it's hard to mimic that in the photos, but this is was a very successful result with this project. And the floor plan that you see here is the entry is in the reception area. At the back is the dressing, and then the shampooing, the drying area, coloring, and then the style. Hair salon, it's extremely, almost like a time, like a line of production that the person, and when it's loaded with many people, it's quite intense. So the efficiency, the functionality, the lighting, it's extremely, we were studying that quite a long time to get the right results with this project. This is the section that for me it was one of the basic and key tool to get the entire space in control, different that sometimes you have project that you're working on developing models as a 3D models or real model. With this space, it's part of to be simple. The section for me, it was extremely important, and this was the end results after study that and get to the right thing, the right balance that actually Cristiano actually liked it a lot. The last segment that I would like to address is about the destination. The things that I feel today, things that I see in architecture, especially as dealing with that subject. And I see that things are related with things that extremely important that I feel about the connectivity, the social media, social networking, and the cultural evaluation. I feel that this is extremely important today, beyond knowing the language, is to have those aspects and to pay attention how those things really impact today with the development of connection with what's called the global village and international project, that today you can access them and be involved with them during the fast communication. I would like to present some of the projects that we've done so you can see a little bit the background. One of the things that it's very interesting, and before I'm getting to the project that we done with the Tree West 13, one of the systems that we use, we decided to use, is to use the symmetry and the building. And the reason is because we try to create innovation and symmetry by having the symmetry as helping us to control the process. Since we was dealing with complication, and we thought about that to be using or to start with symmetry, it will help to control and to get to higher innovation of results with glazing, custom fabrication of the steel windows, with installation of them, with conventional teams that was far away from a project that you have the budget and the solution. So for me it was an interesting decision when I took and I said I will do a building that it's a symmetrical, but as you see, as I will show you different project that totally have a different meaning. This was a project that we was involved in Hershey, Pennsylvania. A client purchased an old gas station and asked to develop a cultural center as a restaurant. This was the area of the awning or the canopy, and this was the main space that got developed to something like that. And then after that, we put together the entire concept. We sent it to England, and actually it was reviewed and got selected on 2003 with Architecture Review. Included was Norman Foster. This was an upstate. It was a client that asked us to suggest to do a greenhouse. And as you see, we was try to integrate the entire volume and the material with the landscape that in the meantime, at that time, was a sloping mountain. This was one of the projects. Another project we was involved is in China. We had a team up with another firm, with another architect, a friend of mine, and we developed a center, a resort in Shenzhen in China. It was building that involved from a business center, the hotels, rooms, villas. The entire stuff was on a slope with a lot of studies on the transportation and the section of how to accommodate the entire. This was a view on the rooms. And this was the views on the villas. So this is a little bit of background on other project that we would been involved, different than the Tree West 13 that is across the street and with Cristiano Coram. Let's basically that's it.
Open the floor for questions in a minute, but Avi, I just want to ask you a few kind of overarching questions, which I'm wondering if you might provide us with a little illumination on. First of all, could you tell us a little bit about how the commission came to you and what sort of parameters you were given in terms of the design? You know, were you basically just told, here, go come up with a design? What parameters were you given? What was that relationship like with the client in terms of the design process?
This is a very good question, since that project was definitely, like Frank Gehry was saying, that the project is the client. I know this client, this developer, almost 18 years. I was working with him in other several buildings on not far away, on 12th Street. And site, he purchased it actually during the time of the September 11. It was a 2 floors building that he basically knocked down, and he was very quickly at the beginning. The orientation of all this project was actually to be a rental, and during they came up with the design, I raised up a lot of opportunities that at that time the market was quite also in type of recession and start to change. And I point for him the advantages and the results that we can come with the end apartment that could really be profitable and could be changing compared to other 25 feet projects that has existed in New York since that time. And it was in the beginning very challenging because, again, it was nobody done. We was looking quite, we was really trying to look a lot on other projects related in that time, but nothing was developed and came up with the same results that we, in that time, was trying to convince him. But the decision that was and took us in really, and we was really satisfied the way that the things follow up. So I was involved not only the design, I was involved during the construction as a client rep, and this was for me was important for me to control the project and the results of the project. So I was working with a team, as I said, team that was not educated to very high-end as a project as in INPA or a big project that you have Zeckendorf and the budget that you have. But for me, it was an extremely important challenge to get to results and qualities not less than that. So lucky that that support from that developer helped us to get to that.
And you said it was not your first time working with him?
No. I mean, I was working with him on other several projects. So it was a long-term knowing him in the long term, developing those.
Gotcha. Well, in addition to the client, of course, one of the sort of masters, so to speak, in any development is often the In addition to the client, obviously one of the important factors in any development is the zoning. And I'm just wondering how that affected your design. Did it constrain you? Did it match well with what you sought to do? How did it impact what the final form looked like?
The zoning was one of the decisions that took off is that right now we came up, actually we add another 2 floors by having the setback. So the setback that we have, it was a decision of compromising, negotiating how we're getting to the maximum opportunity with that, and it's this is we came up to 10 floors, and I think it was that time we're adding almost 2 floors at the end what was supposed to be, but adding the setups, things got us opportunity to raise up, and this was actually a very good solution on that time.
So the zoning encouraged you above the
height
to set the mass back and
right. Right, and then some of the things that was, if you see the design, you have the part, the bottom part, and the results of the look, and there's the back, there's this, you have like in type A and type B that we try to which we basically merged with these two solutions, but this was part of a decision not to have the entire going less floors as to get more floors. So it was.
Gotcha. One other area that I want to ask you about is certainly in terms of the work that we do in this neighborhood, something we think about a lot with design is context. And I'm wondering how that informed or how you thought about context in terms of the design. You know, 13th Street, this block, and some of the neighboring blocks of 13th Street are interesting. They're a little bit different than a lot of the neighborhood. It's definitely much more mixed use, more industrial, but not. It's not like Soho. It's not like there's a sort of a neat and consistent character of a certain kind of loft buildings. It's more of a sort of a jumble. One of the things that I appreciate about the design is, while it's clearly a new building, it sort of almost looks like it could have started with an old building and then been with new materials or new juxtapositions added in. And I'm just wondering if any of that was intentional or if that was part of the thinking at all, or just what thinking there was in terms of the context around it and any relationship to it.
I see that you observe very well. Because again, as I said, and I raised up the point of negotiation, it's very clear to see that when you're on an architecture project, architects have usually some type of ambitions to get to a final product, and they very much try to force everything to get that form or that formation. I really quickly realized that I have a very difficult situation with a client that came up with a background that he was antique restoration. So totally different cultural background from modern and qualities that we present at that time. It was a process that was took, and I can say it was almost two stages that was a turning point that in some way I succeed to convince the client that this is the best of the needs that the project will take, and we have an opportunity to come with something that at that time actually nobody done in 25 feet a solution in this way that you see. After that, a lot of architects came to me and in some way imitate, but at that time that solution that we came up, it was after that was a debate that we was having with the client, and then things was changing and structure in that form. So yes, it was kind of a two phases in a way.
Well, if I'd like to open the floor to questions, if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand if you'd like to ask a question. This woman here.
More of a statement, I guess, than a question. I have lived on this block since 1961, so I've seen it changing in all kinds of forms. But that building, I don't like to criticize, but having it set back, I have seen people sleeping in that area at night. And in the daytime, apparently it's a real estate office on the main floor, and they have their advertisement stands right outside of the building. So when you walk by there, what you get is these advertisements hitting you in the face, which is nice for them, but not necessarily nice for the other people walking the
This is what I addressed before. It was definitely observation that we was having as optional doing the lighting and the staging part that I feel it actually worked very well. At the beginning it was some homelessness was sleeping there since at the ground they have a heating that actually penetrate the sidewalk. So during the winter, they was getting warm by sitting close to those exhaust. But since they was blocking that, I think that changed already, and they kind of controlled it. So in some way.
Yes.
Hi. I live across the street from that building, next door to this building.
observed that it seemed to take many years, in long periods, for nothing to happen. And the dust would arrive, and it would get filled up by hand, apparently. And then it would go away, and then another year would go by, and nothing would happen. So the project seemed to take 5 years.
The project took 5 years, and it was... No, it was not about the money. It was, as I said, we was one of the things that with the beginning we had, the building was oriented to be rental. And to convert it to condo, we have been delays almost 9 months about what's called value and engineering value related with the code of the city to basically apply to the condo permission. So this was put us in delay. It was issues that related with the developer that was by himself the general contractor. So in some way it was, I can say, the poor management of the team of the construction. And so this both of those factors really took the time that this project took a long time. Yes. The challenge with this building was in several aspects that people was pointing me up. One of them was finishing as white, as a residential white, and people was complaining how you maintenance that and how you cleaning that. And I actually found that by actually expressing the white and the difficulties, not about the cleaning, the difficulties that people need to be actually maintenance the building itself. Part of that was the lighting system that was responsible by the developer, by the owner of the building. Since the moving to the condos, the building is supposed to have a management that taking care about that. And I saw since the last year or a little bit more that things that didn't work well. I mean, it's what I heard also, the tenants didn't have the right control. So I think this is what... It's interesting to see the results immediately of a building that not respond well and things are not in control.
So is the idea that each tenant does control? When I first saw it, I thought, how do you live with that? You are like with purple lights all of the time? Is the idea
no, it's working.
Do you see it from the inside? Like
No. The idea is that all the, and this is something that people was asking me a lot about why the reason that I came was such a big glazing to expose the interiors of the apartment. And I start to talk about the mood that was my purpose is actually with this project was to involve the public space, the living room, with the street. And it's an opportunity that, again, I try to talk about the destination, the connectivity, the opportunity that people have and they can expose themselves, they expose the living room with the street. The lighting system inside the apartment, it's blocked. The details have some type of a niche. So from the inside, you actually don't see anything and you have the screen behind it. So at night, actually, one of the intention was is to create that it have a sensor because those lights opening by a sensor. Also, the screen was supposed to go to some level with that sensor, but again, things was didn't work in that way. So in some ways, like you're closing your eyes. So the idea was that at night, the screen was supposed to get down to a level and the light illumination is only basically reflected to the outside.
Was this a new system or is it one that...
With the lighting, we found that company that actually developed that, but again, we had a lot of problem that time to find the right coloring. At the beginning, they saturated too much, and I asked them to maintenance, and then after that, the sources, the location of the lighting sources got changed, so, but the idea was as basically that the people, the management team was supposed to control and then maintenance that. So,
Fred,
what's the height of the building? How many units, and what did they sell for?
Interesting. The height of the floor, and this has got to give you a little bit indication about my ambitions, is to really have the feeling of the loft. The height of the floors are 10'6". The apartment is the lower apartment is 2,500, and the top the top three apartment is 900. The success of the sales was incredible. After 3 months, almost the entire building was sold beside one apartment. The one with the decks was running for 2.5 million. So the square footage you can sell is about 1,300 per square feet. So the results with the sales at that time was quite stunning. Was that company, the Sotheby's Realty, that was dealing with that, was quite impressed with such a small building, with such a small development. So
and
I think...
When was this?
I think we finished with the sales, I think it was 2007, something like that.
Penelope?
To get a picture of the building as a whole, the bottom two floors are commercial and the top, how many are?
It's a top, bottom is commercial, two floors, and the top is another seven units. One of the things that, again, we was have as an opportunity, and some of the real estate brokers, some of them understand that we was aiming to get, again, maximize, is to have the top three floors actually as the townhouses. That it's quite rare to find in New York and the village townhouses, new townhouses. And in some way we was... recommend to the developer that to address that, but these things didn't took away. One of the things that during the design processes, I at the end I point up to the owner, to the developer, that actually my design, as you saw some of the images, the spaces look quite empty, and I decided to, and my orientation was to have the apartments finished as the 80%, I called it. And the reason is that I was expecting, thought about, my ambitions is to have those tenant option later to hire me to work and to do the interior design. So to personalize the unit following the line of the work that we did as the architect. So this was one of the things that I was hoping, but it didn't took. So.
I was just curious, does it go through to 14th Street?
It's interesting. That lot, part of the complication of the time, it was one lot from 14 to 13, and the owner just purchased the half of that. So the lot size is 25 feet by 100 as the lowest floor. Then you have a setback 30 feet. So the rest of the floors are 25 by 70. And in the top floors, you have a front 15 feet. So the top floors are shrink down to 900 square feet, but all the floors are having two bedrooms, each one of them, so we maximize in that way. So we achieve maximum from that floor that's actually very small. And,
well, it's interesting because so it's a 25 by 100 foot lot, which is actually sort of a standard New York City lot.
Correct.
Especially in Manhattan and above the first floor. You said in the rear you have a 30-foot setback, which is also sort of standard.
Correct. One of the things that, again, it's quite not used, it's become to be very unique with this particular building, since in the apartment, we didn't have enough storage. And we knew that the new owners will complain about that, so we decided that at the basement, we will have storages for each unit. So we add each apartment have their storage that basically add to their value on the offering plan. So basically beside their square footage that they have upstairs, they have a storage for the winter or summer the elevator actually going from the basement to the roof. So it's quite unique, again, to come as a solution that somebody can have and change their storages very easily from their apartments and take down to the basement and serve them, I think, in a very unique way.
Is it a single basement level that's all storage?
No, it's a basement that it's one. It's a one floor basement, but part of that is belong to the commercial on the first floor. So we divided as part to be storage to the tenant and part mechanical and part the storage of the first floor. So with a commercial access.
Yes, in the back again.
Did you say that the windows, I think you meant the front windows, almost acted like, I didn't quite understand, something like a terrace because they opened and...
Yeah, the two windows, the main windows, they was supposed to open inside up, and then it was also a mechanism that I researched a lot, and it was quite hard to find it. But the idea is to open it up, and then that you have basically a clearance, so the open window become to be like almost like a balcony.
Because the bottom of the window I saw...
It's a window sill. It's exactly a window sill, right.
So it could almost function like,
exactly.
Like a balcony.
Exactly.
It was meant to open out into the street up? Or?
No, I didn't want to integrate with the street. Actually, the top... The window height, it's about... If you take like almost just roughly 9 feet... So you have the 3 feet bottom, 3 feet six actually, and then you have the middle part, and then you have what's left. So when you open the window, actually, with my height, the window is above me. So it worked really well.
Like folds up against itself.
Exactly. So it opened up. So you open inside.
So it did work out that way, or it didn't finish?
Excuse me? No, what happened is that, again, they have a problem to finding the right mechanism. And what they did, they opposite the windows. So to simplify that, the window right now open inside, but they open opposite.
They open what?
So they open from...
Like back on?
Right, exactly. Just for the cleanup. They can take them out at all, but they're opening inside that one.
Yes.
Yeah,
is the lighting in place? It sounds like the multicolor lighting. Is that in place? So that if management cooperates, then it can work.
They were supposed to cooperate and to control that, to maintenance that. Some of the lights, if you see at the top, are, I don't know if it's burned, but they are not working properly. The light was supposed to be coordinates. The light's supposed to be changed as you're walking from the street, from the junction. It's getting, it's like 15 seconds, you have a wave. So in some way, you see the mood, what I try to create.
Sounds great.
But... The thing is that kind of, I think that they are not doing their jobs in some way.
Is it high maintenance?
No, it's not high maintenance at all, actually.
Yeah.
It's not at all. It's LED. LED is a system that are almost very efficient in energy. So it's not, I think that somebody need basically to contact those companies and follow up on that.
Do you think they'll try something like that again? Somewhere where someone...
Sorry?
Do you think you'll try something like that again? Somewhere
as a future? I think it's definitely, I don't know if I will follow exactly the same way, but I think it would be very interesting to develop those study that we did and to implement it with the new thinking and new technology, and definitely with budgets that with this building. It's hard to explain, but the budget was extremely tight, and part of being involved on the construction, this was the only way that I could have a control between the design and then the end result to get to the type of satisfaction that we have. But it's much, much easier when you're dealing with a large project. You have totally different aspects. You have people that you really specialize with them, what's the curtains wall, and the complication and the technical are taken care of much in a different way. So I was the person that dealing with all those aspects that could be answered the length of the time of the project took also. So.
Yes, ma'am.
What were some of the innovative technology that you used in building?
In that time, again, 25 feet, residential, 5 floors. We use the air condition and the heating. It was a decision that was each apartment will have a self unit that will accommodate that. Insulation materials, acoustical materials, the glazing. The glazing was extremely challenged, and my research was really try to follow a large project in Florida and to find glazing that was, in that time, was nobody used on small project. So we came up with a very interesting results to implement and to use conventional teams to build it up as steel frames, but the results of the loyal saving the energy and following up on that aspect definitely had a really interesting and successful results with this kind of size of a project. Beside of that, we was at that time what's called all the data, the security, the internet was centralized and developed with the companies that we found, so we could implement. And in some way, we didn't have what other large projects have, the doorman or the concierge. So we try to have the control, since the apartment, the elevator is going to each apartment and opening to the apartment themselves, as again, loft that you have, and the situation like that is totally different from residential that you have a lobby. All those things was to save space in one hand, but to have security and control in the other hand. Yeah.
Did you consider solar cells for the roof?
Sorry?
Solar.
He asked if you considered solar cells for the roof.
No, at that time, I think it was a time that solar, and especially in a small project like that, I think that was costly-wise, was not, again, it didn't was came up to that aspect. But today, definitely, things can be implemented, and today the systems got more friendly and more costly in a way that you can really use them.
So you're finding that technology is evolving and getting more accessible?
Absolutely. Actually, today we're dealing with different aspect of architecture. If I can say, we are dealing with branding architecture. We involved with project with companies in Germany that one of the companies in energy as solar, wind, and turbine that we have right now, we involved in project in Brazil and Africa. So we see a lot of involvement and development on this photo and opportunities that you can involve on residential. But again, in the United States, things are more complicated because it's not just the infrastructure, it's how you connect it to the grid that is much more complicated.
Yeah, I understand it's not quite as receptive here. John?
You mentioned a project on 12th Street. Did that get built? And if so, where is that?
I said it was buildings that was we was working. It's an old building. It's a renovation with that client. It was not a new building.
Which building is it though?
It's between four. If you know that it was a church, in front of the church was two buildings that the owner had. So we was involved with renovation, interior renovation with that client. That was he purchased them.
Which block of 12th Street is this?
It's between 4th and 3rd Avenue.
Okay, on 12th Street?
Yes.
Where St. Anne's Church?
If you remember, it was a church that left over, and now they build a huge, I think, dormitory. So exactly in front of that. So that was 111 East 12th Street.
Oh, so across the street.
Exactly.
The street from
exactly. That. So that client was, that was the first time that we met with him, and he was converting, and this was a residential purely, and then slowly he developed. He bought to purchase different buildings, and until he purchased this site.
Just out of curiosity, have you done any projects in New York City that have been in the historic district? Have you ever had to work with the Landmarks Preservation Commission on any of your projects here?
Many years ago, I was involved on Upper East Side, but it was more like a... I was involved with that. It was a restaurant that needed to have a type of facade that was supposed to renovate it, and the restriction was to follow the preservation of the landmark. So this was the one that was my involvement with that. Another project I was involved that was quite interesting in a different way, but it was extremely challenging that time it was 45 Wall Street. Mm-hmm. 45 Wall Street was the first building, commercial building, that if somebody know was Atlantic. And that time, I think it was after the 90, the recession, 1995, many buildings was actually empty. And several developers saw this opportunity and to purchase a commercial building and to convert in Wall Street to become residential. At that time, I was working. I was consulting as a senior design on a firm that today is quite large, Cetra Rudy. And I was involved on two projects: 127 John Street. If you guys remember the Seaport, the digital clock. So it was a renovation, interior renovation. Convert that to NYU dormitory, and parallel with that, I was in charge on the design of 45 Wall Street. It was a complicated project from the aspects of it was a corner building, the structures, the subway, and the question how to finish a building as a 1995. With the results that it's not imitate the old building, or the you're not doing hair preservation, you try to find a new aspect that can accommodate that. So it was really interesting to work with this. Rockwells was a development, and they did amazing. After 8 months, they built it. Mm-hmm. So it was extremely opportunity to see from the design up to the end of the project was amazing opportunity to see how things was really implemented.
Mm-hmm. There's certainly been a lot more residential conversions since then.
Right, right. And for them, it was really successful project. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for our guests? Well, thank you. Please join me in thanking Avi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.